Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a lawsuit filed today in federal court by the Electronic Frontier Foundation against the National Security Agency to stop it spying on American citizens. Cindy Cohn, the legal director and general counsel of the Electronic Freedom Foundation, joins us to discuss the legal challenges ahead to stop what the plaintiffs describe as an illegal and unconstitutional program of dragnet electronic surveillance. Then we'll speak with Gary Young, a feature writer and award-winning columnist for the UK Guardian, whose recent article in The Guardian, Open Season on Black Boys After a Verdict Like This, has gained international attention. With appeals for calm in the wake of such an unjust verdict, Gary Young asks, as the father of a black child, how he and his child can feel calm and whether the only option now for black teens who venture out of their homes is to be armed like George Zimmerman. Then finally, following a recent report by the UN that China's population will shrink, India's will plateau, but Africa's will explode, we will speak with John Bongaerts, Vice President and Distinguished Scholar at the Population Council, an international nonprofit that studies world population. We will look into Africa's lost decade in birth control and how the world's increasingly strained water and land resources will be able to support an estimated 9.6 billion people by 2050. And joining us now is Cindy Cohn, who is the legal director for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, as well as its general counsel. She has testified before Congress and has twice been named one of the 100 most influential lawyers in America by the National Law Journal for her work protecting civil liberties online. The Electronic Frontier Foundation today in federal court in San Francisco filed a lawsuit against the National Security Agency. Welcome to Background Briefing, Cindy Cohn.
Thank you.
And this unusual coalition that you represent in your lawsuit, they are environmentalists, human rights activists, church leaders, gun rights advocates. They have joined you in the suit that you filed today. So you've got Greenpeace, Human Rights Watch, Students for Sensible Drug Policy, and CalGuns Foundation. So what is the broad interest here that you've put together? And, of course, the other question is exactly what are you suing the National Security Agency over?
Well, so the focus of the case is the right of association under the First Amendment. The First Amendment is important to groups from across this political spectrum that focus on various different issues. One of the beauties of the First Amendment is it doesn't really care what your viewpoint is. It protects your right to say it here in the United States of America. And it also protects your right to associate with others in order to say things, to form and join groups like my clients, like Human Rights Watch, like People for the American Way, like California, the California Gun Foundation, CalGuns. And so we brought this group of folks together because we think that the National Security Agency's wholesale bulk collection of everybody's telephone records violates the right of association of these associations, their members, and the other people that associate with them. The case arises out of the now admitted program by the National Security Agency to collect everybody's telephone records. They're collecting all of your calls 24 hours, 7 days a week, and they're keeping them for up to 5 years. We're trying to stop this. We think it's unconstitutional and illegal, and we're hopeful that this case will help the courts understand what's at stake in these cases. The government claims that it's just metadata. But just metadata does reveal who you associate with, when, and how often, and for how long. And the First Amendment has a lot to say about that.
Well, so does the Fourth Amendment, surely.
Sure it does. And we certainly raised the Fourth Amendment in this case as well. We also raised the Fifth Amendment right to due process. And we sought the return of the property under the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. So we're not just relying on the First Amendment, but I think that the debate around the NSA spying so far in this country has really focused on the Fourth Amendment, the right to privacy, and the reasonable expectation of privacy that people have in their communications. And I certainly believe strongly in that, and it's part of this case and the earlier case we brought. But we wanted, the reason we brought this case on behalf of associations is we wanted to broaden the conversation a bit. It's not just the Fourth Amendment that has something to say here. It's the First Amendment and, frankly, the Fifth Amendment as well.
Well, I guess the Fifth Amendment is applicable in as much as there's so much data now, both that the government collects and that private industry like Google and Facebook collects on individuals. that you could argue that your right not to incriminate yourself has been violated.
Well, it's possible, but that's not the claim that we're making here. That's a much harder claim to make. The Fifth Amendment does a bunch of things, but the main thing it does is it requires due process of law before your rights can be taken away. And the claim that we've raised here talks about two things. First, it talks about your right to informational privacy and the need for government to make some kind of specific showing that you may have violated the law before it gets to violate your informational privacy rights here, and that hasn't been met. And the second way the Fifth Amendment comes into play is that, you know, we have a process that the due process requires that the people be able to know what the laws are. That they know what the standards are, when the law government can have access to their communications, and that those rules be clear, understandable to the public, and very easy for law enforcement to follow, clear to law enforcement. And our argument is that by developing a whole body of secret law around what it's doing, the government has violated the due process rights of Americans to frankly know what the law is.
Well, of course, the government has said they've insisted that the surveillance revelations about these surveillance programs would cause grave national security problems. And they've talked about how in the Bradley Manning case, how just putting that material out on the Internet provided al-Qaeda with advantages or intelligence simply because they are capable of looking using the Internet. But what happened to President Obama's call for a national debate that's followed the Snowden revelations here? I don't get the impression that we are having a national debate, or at least that it's not a two-way street.
Well, it doesn't appear that we're having a national debate, and we're hopeful that this case can help ignite this. Look, the fastest way for the spying to stop is for the government to just stop doing it. You know, we're going to engage in the litigation. We're hopeful that the courts will side with us, but that's certainly a much slower road than actually us having a national conversation and the government deciding as a result of this that it doesn't want to continue with this anymore, that it's too unpopular and that the American people don't want it. So we're hopeful that this can be part of the conversation. I also want to differentiate what we're suing over here from the Manning example in a really important way. You know, the telephone records collection program that we're suing over here in this case has been admitted by the government. The complaint has attached to it a press release from the Director of National Intelligence admitting that this is what they're doing, that they are collecting wholesale the records of millions of Americans. So the central thing that we want the courts to decide about is public. The government's admitted it now. After denying it for years and years and years, they've stymied us in the courts in other cases by trying to claim secrecy around this. But what's different today and what we hope will make this case able to move more quickly is that we're suing over what the government has admitted. And I think that makes it very different than some of the other national security cases and, frankly, puts this case in a very different posture than where we were when we started our Juul versus NSA case in 2006, where we had some governmental admissions and we had a lot of evidence, but we didn't have what we have now, which is the Director of National Intelligence saying, yes, we are doing this.
Again, I'm speaking with Cindy Cohn, who is the legal director for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, as well as its general counsel. Today in federal court in San Francisco, the Electronic Frontier Foundation filed a lawsuit against the National Security Agency. I spoke earlier with Mark Rotenberg of the EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center in Washington, D.C., and they've gone ahead and petitioned the Supreme Court to, in fact, invalidate what the National Security Agency is doing through the authorization of the FISA court, which the authorization comes under Section 215 of the Patriot Act. And that's sort of the loophole, if you will, that they're driving a Mack truck through. And that the notion is that this is an abuse of the Patriot Act because it says that you can use the government can look for information relating to an ongoing criminal complaint or investigation. So this petition to the Supreme Court apparently is making the simple argument that how can data on every American be a part of an ongoing investigation? That basically means that every American is a terrorist suspect, and that just doesn't hold water. So what's your understanding about where that stands, and how do you feel about that route?
Well, look, I think anybody who can stop the spying is a hero, and I appreciate the EPIC's effort to kind of go right to the Supreme Court. You know, it's procedurally difficult to do that. The court doesn't have to take the case, and but I think it's a brave effort, and I'm glad that they're doing it. We're going to try our ways. I mean, I think all people who are concerned about the spying are you know, across the country are racking their brains trying to figure out the best way to go forward to try to stop the spying. And, you know, I view EPIC as one of, you know, our friends in this fight. So they've tried their way, and we're trying our way. And whoever gets to stop the spying first is, you know, that's great. You know, I think we should let a thousand flowers bloom for ways to try to stop the spying.
Right.
We also have a claim under Section 215 in our case as well, making the same argument. You know, it can't possibly be the case that the wholesale collection of everybody's telephone records is I don't actually think it's what the statute says. I mean, frankly, Congress didn't authorize the wholesale surveillance of the entire country. You don't remember any political debate on that at the time of the Patriot Act. They said they were doing something different. The statute appears to be doing something different, something much more targeted. And the government's interpretation of the statute to let it do this, I think, is just wrong and should be declared wrong by the courts. Whether that's the Supreme Court in the first instance or our case, frankly, I don't care. I think the sooner we can stop the spying, the better.
And given that you're near Silicon Valley, as Cindy Cohn, the legal director for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, as well as its general counsel, what's your understanding of where things stand with these big companies, particularly Verizon and AT&T, but in terms of the Internet, a number of big companies are also being ordered through the FISA court to supply this metadata. Yahoo apparently is resisting and asking the government to unseal a 2008 case that ordered the firm to turn over customer data. Where does that stand? I mean, my understanding is that the government actually pays these companies. They don't do it out of charity or patriotism. They do it because they're getting paid to do it.
Well, there's a couple different programs kind of involved here. So the Section 215 programs involve the telecommunications company. That's Verizon and AT&T, the phone companies. And it appears that at least as of the last few years, it's not clear how long. So the government has put different hats over the same behavior over the years since 2001. But it appears that at least for the last few years, the phone company program, the Section 215 program, has been pursuant to FISA court rulings, and so the companies are responding to FISA court rulings. The other program, the one involving the Internet companies, Microsoft and Google and some of these other companies, is the government claims its authority under Section 702 of the FISA Amendments Act. That has a different legal justification. I think it's just as full of holes as the Section 215 thing. Our case hasn't taken, we haven't taken that on yet, but I wouldn't rule that out in the future. And it's not clear whether there are court orders for the 702 program or not. Microsoft, in its latest response to the government, seems to indicate that there's a FISA court order there too, but it's hard to know. I mean, honestly, all of this really indicates that we need the government to come clean with us about when is it getting access to our communications records, the domestic communications and communications records of millions of ordinary Americans. Like, Americans deserve to know if the government's getting bulk access to their communications. So, you know, based on what's been kind of leaked so far and some of the things that the government's admitted, there appear to be two different programs, one just aimed at phone records, another aimed at Internet communications. The claim about Internet communications is that they're only targeting foreigners, and that they've got some internal process where they're 51% sure that people are foreigners, and then they get to look at their communications. It's all very hazy. I think the legal justification for that is, you know, is also secret, and frankly, it's not believable that they have a real legal justification for that would survive serious scrutiny by a real court as opposed to a secret one-sided court. So I think we're still learning. I'm sorry that's a long-winded answer, but I think we're still learning what's going on with the Internet companies, and I'm not sure we're done figuring this out. But I suspect there will be litigation arising from that as well at some point in the future.
Well, what we do know, I've talked to Cindy Cohn, to a number of former NSA whistleblowers, Thomas Drake and William Binney, who blew the whistle on vastly expensive, $8 billion worth of taxpayer money going into these complicated algorithms that they're developing to mine data. And they, in fact, in Drake's case, he got booted out and held at gunpoint and charged as a spy for trying to save the taxpayer $8 billion. So we don't quite know how much of what the NSA is doing is a kind of form of right-wing welfare or some kind of corporate boondoggle because of the massive privatization of intelligence that's happened subsequent to 9/11. But what we do know is that a vast complex is being built up in Utah to store this data. And I don't think you have to be Einstein to put two and two together that this all this metadata is going to be stored until such times as maybe these algorithms, you know, work. I mean, the idea, I'm not sure that it's technically possible to come up with an algorithm that predicts the future, but apparently the NSA thinks that they're working on it, you know. So is that what's going on here?
Well, it's hard to know, but I do agree with you that the development of the Utah facility with such huge capability for storing information provides a lot of support for what Mr. Drake and Mr. Binney and J. Kirk Wiebe have been saying about what the NSA is doing. Those three men are all witnesses and have filed declarations in my earlier NSA case, Juul versus NSA, along with Mark Klein, an AT&T whistleblower who drew attention to the facility in the AT&T building here in Folsom Street in San Francisco, where copies of all internet traffic are being sent to the NSA's control. So, you know, the pieces are starting to fall into place. I think it's very clear that the government is intending on making copies of a tremendous amount of our communications and communications records, and then having the ability to search through it later, to have kind of a time machine where they can search through it later in the event that they have need to figure out, you know, who we talked to in the past, how often we talked to them, and when and where. So, you know, I think the pieces are all starting to fall into place. The phone records program and the internet metadata program, the PRISM project that is in the slides. The slides also reveal the fiber optic splitter information that Mr. Klein testified about. Now, they're all falling into place as pieces of a much bigger set of programs to spy on Americans in America. And I think it's time for the American people to be able to have a voice in that and to put a stop to it.
Well, just in closing, Cindy Cohn, in terms of the Edward Snowden, who first revealed this PRISM program and suggested that sitting at his desk, he could tap into what the President of the United States was communicating, which, of course, was subsequently denied. But given now that Edward Snowden is seeking refuge and asylum in a country that is not famous for its human rights and civil rights, not to mention its internet laws, do you think that one can separate the message from the messenger here, if indeed the messenger is tainted?
Absolutely. The information that we're suing over today has been admitted by the U.S. government. The Director of National Intelligence has admitted that this is true. They've also issued a whole bunch of other admissions about things that Mr. Snowden presented. So to me, at that point, Mr. Snowden isn't important to the conversation at all. Our government has admitted that it's doing these things. And the question for the American people is, do we think that's okay? Is it constitutional, and is it subject to the laws and the rule of law? I think at that point, Mr. Snowden's role in this shouldn't be the central focus. And indeed, I think to the extent that the media is paying attention to the particularities of whether Mr. Snowden is a nice guy or not a nice guy, they're playing into a game that is not really to the benefit of the American people. The American people need to stop and think about the surveillance that's now been admitted by their government and indicated by the evidence shown. And getting caught up in a personality game about Mr. Snowden is frankly not what Mr. Snowden wanted. He was very clear about this, that this was not about him, and it was about the information he was bringing forward. And frankly, I think it does a disservice to the country.
Well, Cindy Cohn, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Cindy Cohn, who's legal director for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, as well as its general counsel. She has testified before Congress and has twice been named one of the 100 Most Influential Lawyers in America by the National Law Journal for her work protecting civil liberties online. And today, the Electronic Frontier Foundation filed a lawsuit in federal court in San Francisco against the National Security Agency. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the open season on Black Boys after the Zimmerman verdict.